Welcome to the Bridge DFW podcast. The Bridge is a community of young adults and a ministry of Eagle Mountain Church. You can find out more at thebridgedfw.com.
Rabia, how precious. You're so gracious. Thank you. Hallelujah. Well, I am so honored to be here tonight. And let's see, we have a surprise for you tonight, right, Mary? You saw the video from Pastor Terry about the prayer conference of September 17th through the 19th. Well, we have someone that some of you may know and some of you may not. So without further ado, I want Mary to come. And so I'm going to give you her name. You know, how many of you guys know who Miss Billy Brim is? Well, how many of you have heard her talk about her granddaughter, Hannah, that's such a prayer? That's your age, some of your age. Well, she's going to be here with us, too, at the prayer conference. Wow. Okay, so is that okay?
Yeah.
All right. And she quite a prayer, as we just said. And, you know, she's been mentored by the best, Miss Billy Brim. I don't know anybody, you know, well, more other than Pastor Terry. They probably equal, you know, for as prayer goes. But I'm excited about Hannah coming, because she's carrying something for this generation. And I believe she has an impartation for you. So here we go. Hannah, are you there?
Hello. It's such an honor to be here.
Hello.
On the phone. There's no distance in the spirit, and I just consider it an honor. And I was just telling Miss Iva, I feel like a little kid, you know. I'm just so excited. I'm excited to see what God is doing. And I'm really encouraged about this generation and what God is doing, because Jesus is coming back so soon. And I just believe it's really important that you, I just believe that this prayer conference with Patsy and Pastor Terry is just vital for you and for this generation, and that that we are getting involved with what God is doing, because there's not a whole lot of time left. And you know, Jesus is coming back so soon. And so my heart for this generation, as I was just praying before that they had asked me to speak to you guys tonight, for a little bit, was that this, I just believe that this is a radical and intimate generation for Jesus. And I just believe that, that God wants to draw you in. And as Miss Iva's talking, just that the Holy Spirit just captures your heart. And I just believe that it's not going to be hard to pray for you. Like, you know, you're going to just hunger after God. Like, I just believe like a fresh fire of the Holy Spirit just encapture you.
Yeah.
And that, you know, you just are just so hungry for him that you can't, just like an intense love for Jesus and for to pray out his heart, that it just keeps growing in you. And I just believe that fire, it kindles in you, that nothing else satisfies you. You know, you can't live without him. And so I'm just honored to be here. I just believe that this prayer meeting is a pivotal point. I believe it's a pivotal point for your life as a young person. You know, just never let your age, God doesn't look at your age, he sees your heart. And so he wants to use you. And so I just encourage you, if you can come to this meeting, if God's dealing with you, that you should just be a part of it. So just thank you. Thank you. I'm just honored. I'm just real. I mean, I know this generation's all about the real. I believe in that. Just be who you are in God. You know, it's not about playing games. And especially for this time, I believe that the light is getting lighter and the dark is getting darker. And it's very important that you start walking in what God has for you, and especially in prayer, that you start learning to go in those deep places in him. Yeah. So I'm just honored. So just thank you. Thank you so much. It's just a privilege. Just a privilege to be here.
Thank you so much, Hannah.
Hannah, thank you so much for taking the time to greet everyone tonight. We are looking forward to having you here with us during the prayer conference and having you minister and impart to us, you know, all of us, because, you know, that's a term that I use that God gave me and a praying friend of mine. Actually, he gave it to my praying friend, but we were in a prayer meeting years ago here at the ministry. He gave us the term, the merging of the generations. And that is what God is wanting to do in this hour. It's a merging in any major move of God, in any outpouring from my studies, that the generations always came together. But the thing about it was, in the neat thing about it, the young people were seeming to be out front. The young people were spearheading this move of God. And I believe God's pattern is still the same today. And I believe it's going to happen. That's why prayer is so important. So God bless you. We look forward to seeing you in a couple of weeks and working with you in prayer. Amen.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Okay. Good evening.
Bye, Hannah.
Hallelujah. So Hannah is quite a prayer. I remember several years ago, some of the other prayer leaders was attending a Living in the Last Day seminar that Miss Billy, I don't know if she still does those or not, but she was doing it back then, 2002. We attended one in Washington, D.C. Hannah probably was in the eighth grade, maybe. And I remember we were going to pray on the steps of the Capitol, but we couldn't pray on the steps of the Capitol because they were doing some... there was some construction. So we prayed across the street, and it was Mrs. Lynn Hammond, Miss Billy, some other, you know, VIPs there. And we were all praying, and I'm telling you, we were hit a place, and it was high, and it was great. And then we came up on this place. It seems like we just couldn't move on over, you know? And I was about from here to... Jasmine from Hannah, and then Kylie, Miss Billy's other granddaughters, I don't know what, but they were standing there, and I saw God just moving on Hannah in such a mighty way. And I was thinking to myself, wow, I believe Hannah should go up there and it'll help put us over where we're trying to go. And true enough, by the time I was thinking that, Mrs. Hammond turned around and beckoned for her, and man, whoo, Jesus, she was the leverage that God wanted. So I said all that to say to you, you know, as Paul would say many times to the different churches in the Bible, I beseech you by the mercies of God that you be a part of this prayer conference, especially with Hannah being there. I know there will be some impartations. That's what I love about prayer. You can sit here just like you'll get impartations tonight because we're going to talk about prayer tonight. You know, I can only give you what I have, you know. And I was thinking, okay, God, these are young people. What do I do? You know, how can I be relevant? He said, a word is always relevant. Amen, somebody. Amen. So he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so with that said, and so I asked him, I said, okay, the word is always relevant. So I said, what do you want to happen Tuesday? He said, I want you to go and deposit the spirit of prayer. You know how you go deposit something in the bank or something in a safe deposit box? Well, he's going to deposit that spirit of prayer in you. And now, the spirit of prayer, you may be asking, what is that? Well, it's like this. The spirit of prayer is an operation of the Holy Ghost. And it's the difference in swimming in a river or going down one in a boat. Which one you think is easier, the boat or swimming? Oh, you need me to tell you? The boat, of course. Because if you're swimming, it's a lot more work. Now, there is work in prayer. There is work in prayer. But in the season that we're in, and by the way, I want to remind you that your pastor, your senior pastor, has declared this month to be Supernatural September. And so I'm believing God for the spirit of prayer to come and move us over into another place in the supernatural. But he's wanting to do it from the old, like Joel said, you know, from, you know, everybody going to be a part of this move of God. You know, the babies, the bride, the newly married, you know, the unmarried, the young, the old, the middle-aged, everybody is a part of the move of this move of God. So this is supernatural September. Now, getting back to the spirit of prayer. Now, when you're swimming in that river, in that lake, or in that body of water, you know, it's not as easy as if, you know, you were in a boat. And so the spirit of prayer is like being in that boat where it'll come and it'll take you and kind of move you, you know, like the wind of the spirit. You know how the boat does? You're not doing any work. You're just sitting on the boat, but you're going somewhere. You're being carried. Yeah. Amen? So that's what the spirit of prayer is, and it's going to fall in here tonight, and it's going to carry you over into your destiny, so, you know, so carry you to a place in God that you haven't been before, amen? That's what it's going to do. It's going to fall in here tonight because God said it, amen? So with that said, I have a counter. Somebody told me I was going to have a timer, so I need it. And I need some glasses. My eyes still trying to tell me that it's not a part of the covenant. But I will win. In the name of Jesus. Okay. So with that said, let's go in our Bibles to Zechariah chapter 12. Is this okay with you guys? All right. Because I'm telling you, I've always been connected with children. I've always been gifted with children, had a connection. You know, I have probably, what, Aaron? And by the way, that's of my fruit right over there, Aaron Bennett. So Aaron has probably 40-some cousins, which would be my nieces and nephews. And I babysit most of those boogers, trust me. So, but I've always been connected, and they would talk me into things like, it's flooding outside, and they would talk me into standing out in the rain, dancing and singing to them, you know, when they were younger. You know, of course, I didn't do that for Aaron, but I did it for his cousins. But, but I always had children and the young people in my heart. And many of you know in here that years ago, that I pioneered a small Christian school, and it was small because God said to have no more than 20 kids. And so that's what I did. I tried to make it happen and get 200, but it wasn't the Lord. So I've always had this thing in me with children. I mean, my older siblings that I babysat for, they used to fight over who was gonna get me to babysit, you know? And so, from a young age, probably fourth grade all the way up until I was, you know, going on off to college. But anyway, I said all that to say I have you in my heart. Because I know, I can see some of you. I don't know some of you I do know. And I'll see you in church, and sometimes the Lord will play a little video for me about your destiny. And I don't say anything, but I'll just take it to the Lord, you know. Because I know he's the one going to do it for you. So, and I'll see you, and then some of you, your pictures kind of get like, he'll kind of paint you on my heart so I won't forget. And then I'll lift you before the Lord. And so some of you will know on this side of the veil. Some of you won't know to the other side of the veil. But I just want you to know you're in my heart and you're in God's heart. Because I've been studying about revivals for many years. And every place I've studied, the young people, you guys were spearheading it. And God came. Like I feel him coming right now. He came. And all those kids did back in down through history was they yielded. Yeah. And some of them, when that spirit of prayer came, and that's the other thing about that marked these revivals and move of God's down through history, the spirit of prayer came. And I'll read you something. This is a book. It's by Wesley Duell. I'm telling you, I know this man is anointed because I have almost every book, probably every book that he's written. I'm telling you, these words and these pages are alive. Just like the Bible, you can tell God, he's not just writing something, but I'm telling you, this was written of the Spirit. But it's called Revival Fires because it talks about in here, these the spirit of prayer had came up on the young men and the young women, you know, And Brother Kenneth E. Hagin's said this, when you see the move of God among the ages of 14, I think, to 27, then you know that the outpouring is here. So that would that include you?
Yes.
I know. So if you're over 20, if you're over 27, don't worry, it includes you too. Because Joel prophesied about every age group coming up into this outpouring. Amen? Oh, Zechariah chapter 12, verse 10. And I will pour out, and I'm reading from the Amplified Bible. And I will pour out, that means I'll be reading, if some other translations stop, I'll still be reading. And I will pour out upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace, or you could say a prayer, or a merited favor in supplications. Supplications, that's another prayer. Spirit of grace, spirit of supplication. So you can say the spirit of prayer, I told you what it was. I really told you the function of it. But the spirit of prayer is the Holy Spirit himself. Amen? And he's going to not only pour out upon you, he's wanting to pour out through you. So then, let us go to, man, did I bring that little black notebook in here? Or just give me my phone. I think I put my scriptures in the phone. Let's go to Ephesians. I think that's the next one. Ephesians chapter 6. Quiet in here. What's up with this lighting up in here? Dear Lord. Yes. You can tell I'm 50-some years old. Dear Lord. Not used to this kind of lighting. But I know y'all like it. That's okay. I'll work with you. Mercy. Yeah. I like to exercise my faith. I'm having to do it right now. Yeah, Ephesians 6 was the next scripture, okay? Hallelujah. Y'all ready to pray tonight?
Yes.
I know y'all are. I'm telling you, you're going to love it. Because you're going to be so enlarged by the Holy Spirit. He's going to so pour on you and through you. Is that... Are you Queen Dottie's sister? Come up here. Come up here so I can see your face. Do you mind? Somewhere up here. Yeah. Yes. Oh, hallelujah. Okay, in Ephesians 6, verse 18. My Bible should fall open there, you know. All of my Bibles, I've always got a new Bible. Except for this one, one day it was falling. I tried to catch it and pulled out Genesis. So I had to stick it in. So all of my Bibles, when I won't have to get a new Bible, is because I worn out Ephesians, literally. Because I stay in here. I read my whole Bible, but Ephesians is like, I camp out there. It's the book of the glorious church. So chapter 6, verse 18 in the Amplified Bible. Pray only a little bit, and then if you're tired and don't want to pray, you don't have to do it. It's okay because, you know, only the older people in the church need to pray, not the young people. That's what it says? Oh, I thought somebody stop and somebody do something here. Let me know you're here. Oh, okay. Did your Bible say all times? Okay, maybe let me double check mine. Oh, yeah, there it is. Pray at all times, on every occasion, in every season, in the Spirit. With all manner of prayer and entreaty, to that end, keep alert and watch with strong purpose and perseverance, interceding in behalf of all the saints, God's consecrated people. I know I'm going to read verse 19, but I've been praying for utterance, so I believe I got it. But now verse 18 here says, pray always. How do you pray always? Do you stay home from school or stay home from work and just pray? That's what he means? Can't be. At all times, that means that you're in communication with God constantly. You're opening, you're listening. That's all that means. You're aware. It's a spiritual receptivity. You're aware of him, you see. And your heart is going up to him. You know, I can be standing talking to you and have a conversation and me and the Holy Spirit having one in my heart at the same time. I'm praying. Because, see, that's who I am. It's not what I do. That's my witness right there. Aaron, am I not right? Every day. You know, I don't care if I wake him up at 3 in the morning. You know, I'm going to pray. And so that's who I am. It's not what I do. So, but that's what he means. Pray always. In other words, you are spiritually aware, spiritual receptivity. But then he says, in the spirit. You know, in the spirit is a real place. It's like the difference of stepping from here to up here when you're praying in the spirit. It doesn't mean just praying in tongues. Praying in tongues is part of it. But it means that you're in a certain place, like we're going to have tonight, where the Holy Spirit is carrying you. You know, so when the spirit of prayer hit, you can pray for an hour. You'll be like, man, it's only 5 minutes. You see? So, but then it says also there, with all manner of prayer. In the day and time that we're in, we need all manner of prayer. And the only way we can have all manner of prayer, you know, there's other prayers other than just asking. Yeah. Prayer, just asking, that's very, it's fundamental. And the Bible said ask. You said you ask, you don't have because you don't ask. But this kind of prayer that we're going to do tonight, that we're walking in, going to do what's just going to follow tonight, is that kind of prayer that's on a higher order, which means that you're going to get over into a place where you just been asking. You're going to get not only what you've been asking, but then there's going to be some equipment added to you, and your capacity going to be enlarged to face life. You know, because I know how the enemy tries to come against young people. But, oh, you're champions. I see greatness, great destinies in this room. I see the Catherine Kuhlmans of this day. I see the Smith Wigglesworth sitting before me. See, look at the Holy Ghost. He love it. Because, see, he know I understand something about generations. And I understand something about the Bible, how he's always handing that baton off to generations. I'm just Ceylon. So, the spirit of prayer. So, the next scripture I want to go to is, see, I have 30 minutes. Let me think. Hold on a minute. Oh, I was thinking. It's okay. Okay, we will go to Romans 8:26. I'm trying to be light on you. Try to give you a break, not be too heavy with you, but y'all don't get my jokes. It's all right. Okay, Romans 8:26 is a very familiar scripture, and I want to read it because, see, the Holy Spirit, you know, he is so, there's a scripture over in, I think it's in James, where he says he's jealous over you. He yearns for you. Jesus' purpose for sending the Holy Spirit was never for him to come and just sit up there and take residence in you. His purpose in coming was to work through you. Was to bring the supernatural supply of himself through you. Just like he did with Timothy. Just like he did with Josiah. You know, Josiah was only 8 years old when he became king. Study your Bible. Learn about some of these things. I could tell you one after the other. If I remembered, if I had a plan, I would have studied it. I didn't study it. But several of these people, some of them were 12. And they were kings, anointed of God, champions, world shakers, history makers. 8:26. And the Amplified. So too, the Holy Spirit comes to our aid and bears us up in our weakness, but we do not know what prayer to offer, nor how to offer it worthily as we ought. But the Spirit himself goes to meet our supplication and pleads in our behalf with unspeakable yearnings and groanings too deep for utterance. So in other words, he's going to come along and he's going to pray through you and he's going to help you yield when you think you can't yield anymore. When you that spirit of rejection come and challenge you, then you're going to be so filled with the Holy Spirit that you're going to drive it out. Yeah. So now, I am going to skip to, I want to read something to you out of this Revival Fires, because it's talking about the spirit of prayer. And we're going to pray. When we start praying tonight, what we're going to do is take our callings, your callings, we're going to hold them in your heart, and then let the spirit of prayer come and begin to bring some defining moments for you tonight, if you will. See, I can't do that. No man can. But the Holy Ghost can. And you're going to walk away from here tonight knowing you, first of all, you're going to have some impartations from the Holy Ghost. Secondly, knowing who you are in Christ, a revelation of it. That's another thing the spirit of prayer has with it, is revelation embedded in it. Something gets in your heart. Now, this book, Revival Fires, is just an account of all the major revivals down through history, and some of them are, this is quoted exactly. Now, this revival was in, I want to say Wales, yeah. And so, this is page 166 in the book Revival Fires by Wesley Duell. And he says, the title is From Youngest to the Oldest. The children formerly cursed and swore as they played, following the example of their parents at home, talking about the children that were not born again, but watch this. Now they held prayer meetings, sang, read the Bible, and prayed for hours. Young men, 15 to 20 years of age, went to private homes after the public service and held their own prayer meetings there. One minister wrote that though he was accustomed to prayer meetings from his first years of ministry, he had never heard such an amazing prayer from these young people. The earnestness, the humility, the sense of their own weakness, the clear perception of Christ as their only refuge, and of the Spirit's influence as their support, guide, and consolation is beyond anything I have ever witnessed before. Never since the commencement of my ministry have I seen men so earnest. They seem to take the kingdom of heaven by force. Another minister wrote, nothing has caused me so much surprise as to hear these men engage in prayer. They pray so scripturally and earnestly that I'm constrained to believe that they are taught by the Spirit of God. Because, see, they had just been drinking and cussing, and the Spirit of prayer came and swooped them up, and now they know they can pray so scripturally, you know they haven't been taught the word. See, that's where we're headed in these days. There were cases of men so convicted of their sins, as they walked down the street, they began to call on God for mercy as they walked, you know, as they walked by these guys praying. People were amazed and astonished at the prayers of the children. In the town of Bala, the students and tutors in both colleges were gripped by the revival. Prayer meetings continued to be held in every house in the town except three or four. Even inns and public houses were used for mighty prayer meetings. It's about for the young people. It's not talking about us older people. Okay, I'll keep reading. In one town, revival began the same Sunday night in several different places of worship. The whole neighborhood was in a blaze. Wow. Prayer meetings were held in the open air in the churches. In many places, God specially used the prayer of the young people. Did you feel God on that? At Banga, a most powerful movement of the Spirit among children was reported. They met to pray everywhere, in houses, schoolrooms, and along the roads. They were full of the spirit of prayer. They were full of the spirit of prayer as they prayed for all classes and age of people. From another town came reports of sinners prevailing before God with irresistible power as they pled for forgiveness through the blood of the atonement. At times, it seemed it was raining tears. See, another characteristic, when the real spirit of prayer come, the spirit of repentance come with it. Now, we may not get that far over in the spirit of prayer tonight, but we continue in it, it's going to come. We ain't going to have to say repent. People are going to just start falling out. Repentance, especially when God come upon you young people. And he's going to come upon you, I'm telling you. You heard Teresa Vail 4, when you're ready, get ready. I'm just saying. Converts prayed with great prayer burden for the salvation of others. A reporter told of remarkable prayer meetings in that prayer and praise was heard at the midnight hour in the roads, woods, and outhouses. You guys know what an outhouse is? A house that's outside. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, anyway. Yeah. At the public school in one community, as the headmaster opened the day session with prayer, the Holy Spirit came so intensely and fully that he and the children continued in prayer and praise until noon. Neighbors heard and gathered outside, deeply moved by the prayers of the young people for unsaved parents and family members. Revivals began among the coal miners. One country reported revivals in more than 50 mines with much prayer and weeping. The spirit of prayer was poured out on the Christian churches. Such power prevailed in the prayer meetings that people attended who had never participated before. See, that's what the spirit of prayer will do. You don't have to teach you prayer. When it comes, it's coming. Nobody going to have to teach you how to pray. And nobody going to have to say, come on now, y'all, pray. Oh my. Jesus. I love that song that Pastor Trina Hankin sang, because my mother used to sing this song. I wish you had been there when I came through. The church was on fire and the Holy Ghost too. You know, so anyway, didn't I do pretty good? And you know, I'm believing God. Y'all believe with me. I'm believing to be on the worship team. No, I'm just kidding. But the church was on fire and the Holy Ghost too. So that's what's about to happen to you. The power of the children's prayers astonished everyone. It was a prayer revival from first to last. A report in a church magazine stated, I have never witnessed anything like that which I now see daily. You hear of nothing but the revival. Ungodly people quake and tremble. I have seen a large congregation in this neighborhood, containing at the time many scores of hardened, ungodly people bathed in tears. And as incapable of leaving the place at the close of the public service as if their feet had been nailed to the floor of the chapel. Some of the most ungodly men seemed to be entirely bewildered. They could hardly find their way home that night. Blessed be God, many of them found their way to the blood of the cross. I thank God I have lived to see the year 1859. God, in his grace, has done more within the past 2 weeks in this part of the country than had been accomplished for an age previously. And it was, now remember the whole point, I mean, reading that session, it was the young people praying. It wasn't me, it wasn't Miss Billy, Pastor Terry, it was you all, people your ages. Now, the other thing I want to read to you quickly, and then we're going to pray, is the Holy Spirit think about you. And I heard, you know how you, I'm have this thing about prophecies, about with people and stuff. So I you know, that's why I carry that bag around. I have a collection. I have downsized. Ask some of the ones in the back, prayer leaders back there. I've downsized, haven't I? But I still have a stack like this. But you know the amazing thing? God has gifted me. You know, I'll read it. And I was hearing part of this in my sleep. Just hearing it. I'm like, oh, I got to pull that out because I want to read it to you all about the Holy Spirit. This is from Lynn Hammond. And I'm going to start out with this part. She said lately she's been studying on the Holy Spirit. She wanted to know more about him. So she quoted the scripture. I will pray the Father, he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. The comforter which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatever I have said unto you. I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the comforter will not come unto you, but if I depart, I will send him unto you. To me, the word comfort has a very narrow definition. I've always thought of it as consolation or sympathy in the midst of sorrow or distress. Of course, we have too, right? But according to Mr. Barclay, she had been studying William Barclay New Testament words, which I got me a copy off Amazon because this is Shaka Moshe. It actually means much more. Derived from the Latin word for fortress, the term comforter was chosen by the first translator because it refers to a person who is brave, strong, and courageous, like a warrior who meets challenges with a strength that defies all odds. That's the Holy Ghost want to do through you. No, he's not saying, oh, Jasmine, I'm the Holy Spirit, I'm with you. Oh, just be of good cheer. No, strong, bold, courageous, defy all odds at your age now. He said it speaks of someone who is lion-hearted or tough or a force that dominates and subdues. I'm telling you people, this generation, that's what you're going to look like. Just let the Holy Spirit, let the Creator right now wipe the canvas of your heart and paint this picture on it. All this pitiful stuff, it's not the Holy Ghost.
That's right.
You're champions.
Right.
You're world shakers. You're warriors. Okay. So, do these descriptions fit the Holy Spirit? Absolutely. Time and again throughout the Bible, he reveals himself in exactly that way. Now, I'll give you this example and we'll pray. Take how he operated through Samson, for example. One of the most famous Old Testament heroes. He had a mission to fulfill just like you and I do. He was called by God to single-handedly deliver the Jews from the nation of the Philistines. No matter how many hours a man might spend in a gym, such a mission is impossible. There's no way any human can defeat an entire nation all by himself. But then Samson wasn't alone. He had the Comforter working through him to provide him with supernatural strength that defies all odds. He initially discovered what that strength could do when the Lord sent him on a kind of practice run. He was on his way to the land of the Philistines to introduce his parents to his girlfriend when he encountered a lion. All right, guys, got to be able to take out those lions. Don't let them eat your girlfriend. The young lion roared against him. See, probably want to eat him and his girlfriend. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily. Wait a minute, I skipped something. Yeah, I did it right. The young lion roared against him. Okay, I see him. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and he tore the lion as he would have torn a kid. But he had nothing in his, not a kid, but you know, a younger lion. Because I don't want y'all going home. Oh my God. I want to find that scripture where he told that kid in the Bible. So. But he had nothing in his hand. He ripped a lion apart and didn't have anything in his hand. He didn't have his knife like I would have had, you know. You know, back in my day, you know, I believe in cutting, you know. Thank you. He saved me, Jesus. Hallelujah. But this guy had nothing in his hands. That's one of the things I didn't want to give up. I said, Lord, let me keep my knife in my purse, please. No, I'm just kidding. Just kidding. But anyway, so he says here he had nothing in his hands. Jesus. But he did not tell his father or mother what he had done. And so if you want to go read the stories in Judges 14, verses 5 through 6. Tearing apart a line with your bare hands is amazing enough. But for Samson, it was just the beginning. Once he got down to the real business of conquering the Philistines, he performed even more remarkable feats. He found a steel-marched jawbone of a donkey and slew 1,000 men with it. God. Then he went, that's Judges 15:15. You want to go look that up. Then he went to Gaza and took hold of the doors of the city gate and the two posts and pulling them up, bar and all, he put them on his shoulders and carried them to the top of the hill that is before Hebron. Judges 16:3. Can you imagine such a thing? The Gaza gate must have been massive. Yet, empowered by the Comforter, Samson was able to tear it loose from the city walls all by himself and carry it for miles. But because of some foolishness on Samson's part, the Philistines eventually captured him, gouged out his eyes, now watch this, and put him in prison. They thought they had put an end to him, to God's one man's army, but they were wrong. As they made sport of Samson in an arena filled with 3,000 people, he put his hands on the pillars that supported the structure and literally brought the house down. So the dead whom he slew at his death were more than they whom he slew in his life. Oh, look at that, supernatural. That's my whole point. Supernatural, the Holy Ghost want to move like that through you in this day. And let me tell you something. With what's coming in the world, you're going to have to be in that place. Yeah. Now, I quote Dr. Bill Winston. The supernatural is no longer an option. It's a requirement. Yeah. Not just a requirement for me, but a requirement for all of us. Right. But you know what? It's not anything that you work for or earn. He's in you. He won't out. Yeah. All you have to do is yield. You know, just like they were singing that song, Show Me Your Glory. And I couldn't help but think about Moses. Because he said, show me your glory. And God's answer was, there's a place beside me. In other words, in this place, beside me, just where you learn to yield. And that power begin to rise up and come out of you. Hallelujah. So if you guys want a copy of this, I can get you copies. And I'll have them here. You want copies? Okay, I hear a hand over there. Because she goes on to tell of Gideon and others in here, but giving examples of the Holy Spirit. She's going to tell you about the word helper. In other words, that the word comforter, the word paraclete, comforter, strengthener, helper, standby. So William Barclay, study words of the New Testament, that's what she's talking about. And the Lord said, take that and read that to them. Because that's the way I want them to see themselves, as strong and brave and courageous. You know love is strong. If you ever been a parent, you know. It take love to sit down and say, I'm going to tear your honey up. You know, I don't care. I don't care how you feel about it. But that's what love is. It's strong. It does the right thing when you don't want to. You know, you don't want to whip. I didn't want to whip Aaron every time I had to. But I did it because love. Because I knew one day he wasn't going to grow old and take my Social Security check. I'm just not gonna have it. Oh no. Stealing my TV to get drugs? No. Uh-uh. So, pew! You know, some of y'all may not identify with that, but you know, I just knew people called my mama for prayer because their sons was stealing from them to get drugs. And I thought, whoa. So, can't have that, right, Aaron? So I want to pray, though. We're going to start praying for these next few minutes. Now, rest, Rabia. And Pastor Darren, Donnie, Pastor Donnie are listening. I send you my love, shalom, and I thank you for giving me the opportunity to be here tonight. I forgot to do that earlier. So if you want to come, want to make a copy, you can have this and make everybody a copy. I have plenty of copies. Because I think, you need to read it to remind yourself. Now, we have people going off to college, you told me.
Yes, ma'am.
So, let's start, let them gather, but we're going to start praying first, then see how the Holy Spirit want to do.
Okay, so, if you are going to school,
you'll have them sit up right
yeah,
here.
Yeah, you can come up here.